Book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. A couple of years ago, I brought a message on this thought, and I'm telling you, I'm not trying to sound repetitious tonight, but I really believe that the Lord laid this on my heart. I couldn't get nothing else on my mind all weekend, and I prayed about it this evening, and so I want to bring you the message from Isaiah chapter 6. Now, we're all going to be settled down now and quiet. You are doing better. You're doing better. However, there's some folks got walked in and out a little bit this morning, and that's not necessary. Stay right where you're sitting. Do not get up and walk out. We moved to a new church. We have some new manners and respect. And if you've got something bad wrong with you or something, then that's understandable. But if not, keep your seat. Do not let these kids get up. They can sit here for just a few minutes. I'm not going to preach long. And listen to the message. Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 7. Let's look at verse 5. Going back and look at verse 5. This is Isaiah's vision of the Lord. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And I want to use that verse tonight. Isaiah said, Lord, you need somebody to do something? Here I am. Send me. I wonder if you could say that tonight. If everybody in here tonight, we wouldn't have a problem spiritually if everybody in here tonight would say that to the Lord and mean it. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Simple as that. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. I want to preach tonight on the subject, sermons from a postage stamp. Sermons from a postage stamp. I went and got some stamps at the library, and I was thinking of the library. Somebody asked me where it was a while ago. And at the post office the other day, and I was looking at them. There's a sheet of them like that, and those little postage stamps do a great work. So I'm going to talk about tonight how that me and you ought to be just like one of them postage stamps tonight. I hope God will use this to be a blessing to your heart. Now, I want to say first of all tonight that a postage stamp represents his country. A postage stamp represents his country. He's not ashamed of it. Right there on the front of that little stamp, it said U.S. A, United States of America. And that little stamp stands up there and says, here I am. I am from the United States of America. This is my country, and I'm representing my country. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say to you tonight that you and I, get down just one hair, Brother Mike, you and I should be the same way. We ought not to be ashamed to represent the country that we're representing tonight. I am a United States citizen, but I am an ambassador for another country tonight. I am a representative tonight, if you will, from the citizen of heaven, and I represent heaven tonight. And I don't want to be ashamed of that. We show what country we're from and very open about it, not being ashamed at all. One of the biggest tricks that the devil plays on our generation is convincing this generation of Christians and people that you're supposed to keep your religion inside these walls of this church. That is a trick of the devil. Did you know that a lot of people that you work with and people that you work beside or live beside and work and walk with daily, even Christians will tell you that church is the place for God and religion and the Bible and no other place like that. I can't believe people even think that. Brother, we're supposed to take this thing outside these walls. We're supposed to go out of here with this gospel. If what we got good is what we as we say it is, then we ought to take it to every little boy and girl, man, woman in Burke County, Catawba County, Caldwell County, McDowell, down Shelby, Rutherfordton, Lincoln County, every single one around us, Wilkes County, it doesn't matter. We ought to take it out of here. I told you before, I was preaching on the street one time up in Marion at the Rose's Shopping Center. And I was preaching on top of my van. We used to preach on up there all the time. And somebody came over and handed me a note. And this lady had went in the shopping center and wrote me a letter. And they said, "Here, Brother Danny, that woman said to give you this." And I opened it up and it said, "Dear sir, do you have a mental problem?" I said, "Do you have a mental problem? Is there not a church that will let you preach?" I was pastoring the largest church in town at that time. And she said, "Is there not a church that will let you preach? Don't you understand that this is not the time and the place for the Bible and preaching and church?" Everybody stay still now. And you know what? You know what? I took that as a compliment, brother. I got in the flesh and I started to write her one back. I started to say, "Dear ma'am, do you have a mental problem? Do you honestly think these people out here don't need God? If you think church is the only place for preaching and talking about Jesus, your head is really, really messed up bad. The Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Everybody. Every little boy, girl, man, woman. It don't matter if they're a drunk. I've heard people say, don't waste your time with them. They're a drunk. The same gospel will work for a drunk. That'll work for a politician. That'll work for a playboy. That'll work for a prostitute. That'll work for a drug dealer. That'll work for a president. That'll work for a communist. That'll work for a Muslim. That'll work for just a regular old sinner. The same gospel. We're not ashamed of our country. I've been on an airplane many, 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 many times. And I've been on an airplane and I've struck up conversation with some weirdos. I'm telling you, I've talked to people on the street, hippies, yippies. I mean, people believe in reincarnation. I've talked to Jehovah's Witnesses, every kind of nut you can imagine. And you know what? You say, how do you deal with this bunch? How do you deal with this bunch? You just give them the same gospel, and the gospel will work on anybody. We represent our country. You are an ambassador for Christ. And I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, you know what we are tonight? We're not ashamed to be identified. I hope you're not. I hope you're not ashamed to be identified with the right side. They call us, you know what they call us on TV? They call us the far right, which is a compliment. Amen? If we're the far right, then they're the far wrong. Amen? That's right. They say, no, right, left, right. If we're right, they're wrong. That's right. And, you know, they say, well, they call us pro-lifers. If we're pro-life, then they're pro-death. The news media won't tell it like it is. The truth is, we believe in letting the babies live. They believe in killing them. So we're pro-life, they're pro-death. Are you pro-life or pro-death? Are you pro-life or a murderer? Which one? Make up your mind, brother. Get on one side or the other. I'm not ashamed to be identified with the far right and the pro-life. Amen? They call us straight. We call them crooked. Amen? That's right, brother. We're on one side, they on the other. Thank God, not ashamed to be identified. We're representing our country. Say amen right there. Amen. We don't believe they found the bones of Jesus. We believe the devil wrote the Gospel of Judas and the Da Vinci Code. And Jesus is coming soon. And the only hope, and we believe we ought to get us all a bumper sticker and put it on the back of our car that says, "No Obama." Amen. I will tell you something tonight. We believe in the Gospel of the Lord Jesus. Say amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. I'm glad tonight, brother. That'd be a good bumper sticker, wouldn't it? No Hillary either, for that matter. And no McCain if we had another choice. But I'm telling you what, thank God, we believe in our country. We represent our country tonight. We represent our country. Amen. I want to say something else a stamp does. That little bitty stamp, he's always ready for service. He's always ready for service. I mean, that old little stamp, I got them in my drawer, there in a chest in my bedroom, and whenever I get ready to mail me a letter, I take that letter in there like this, and you know what I do? I pull that little drawer out like that, and there's them little stamps just stuck on that piece of paper looking at me. Here am I, send me. And brother, there they are. That's what they're doing there. Bless their heart. They lay there till the master is ready for you. I bought them. I paid for them. And they'll lay right there till I tell them what to do. My Lord have mercy. That's about to make me shout tonight. Amen. He bought me. He paid for me. And I ought to just wait on him to give me orders. Tell me where to go. Amen. Listen, people, the greatest privilege you ever had in your life is serving God. Somebody told me the other day, they said, "Gas is so high, Brother Danny." They said, "We're going to take our gas money out of our tithe." I said, "You're crazy. You are crazy. God ain't going to pay you to come to church. Coming to church is a privilege. You ought to thank God. You ought to get down and kiss the floor in this place tonight. You've got the privilege of coming to church. You sorry, spoiled brat, you. You ought to be shouting every day of your life that you've got the privilege to come to the house of God. Amen. You can be in hell with your back broke. You can be suffering tonight. But thank God He's let us come to church. Well, I thank God for it. I'm telling you, if I wasn't a dignified downtown preacher, I'd shout. Woo! Amen. That little stamp said, "Here am I, send me." He's ready for service. Are you ready for service tonight? You say, "Well, I'm tired of the bus ministry." You ought to be saying, "Glory to God, I have the privilege of representing the King of Kings, bringing a bus to church and telling people the greatest story ever told." I can't imagine the same person who told me she wanted to take her tithe money and buy gas from the church was fussing because her husband hadn't got her tanning bed in. Boy, I'm telling you, I wanted to cuss. And I believe the Lord had blessed me if I did. Did have a word. Amen. I ain't kidding you, brother. Of all the wicked, ungodly. Somebody say, "Well, if I come to church, I'm going to take it out of my tithe." Lord, have mercy, brother. Take it out of your fingernail money. Some of y'all spend enough on your toenail to put gas in your car when I come to the house of God. And I don't care if you do your toenails. I'm a grown man. I do my own. Somebody told me, they said, "Have your nails done." I said, "You're crazy. I know how to cut fingernails. That's all you do to them. Cut them." Spend all the money you want on your toes. But don't rob God of His money. And God don't have to pay you to come to church. It's a privilege for you to come to church. It's a privilege you to come. You do know, there's a girl here this morning. Sitting right over here with Lee. She's from the Ukraine. And Lee, because she's 20 years old, y'all see that girl sitting right over here? She'd never been in nothing like this in her life. She said in her whole town, there's one person got a Bible, and they all go over to their house once in a while so they can hear him read it. One person has a Bible in the whole community. Here you bunch of brats sitting here tonight in this beautiful new auditorium got 8 or 10 Bibles in your house. And they'll say, "Well, I don't believe I'll go." Lord have mercy, brother. That stamp, he's always ready for service. Luke chapter 22 and verse 33, Peter said, "Lord, I'm ready." And Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, he said, "I am ready to preach." They said the great missionary Hudson Taylor was getting missionaries ready to go to Scotland. And Hudson Taylor is one of the greatest missionaries in the history of the church. The China Inland Mission was founded by Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor got up and said, "Who will go to Scotland? Who will go to Scotland? Who will give up your life and go to Scotland?" And a one-legged woman come down on power crutches. One leg. And he got over there and he said, "I just can't believe. Why would a one-legged woman volunteer to be a missionary?" She said, "Because the people with two legs won't." The people with two legs won't. You know what I thought about, Brother Jason? I thought about preaching a sermon and titling it that. Them with two legs won't. What a sermon. Them with two legs won't. God's give you two legs. God's give you a mouth. God give you eyes and a Bible. What a privilege it is. Don't gripe about it. It makes me sick to hear people gripe. "Oh, Lord, I got to Sunday school. Oh, Lord, I got to..." It is a privilege. Every time I stand behind that pulpit, I was thinking a while ago, I ought to be the happiest little fella in town. And I probably am. And you know why? Because God gave us a church. And God gave me a big old pulpit. And God gave us microphones. And God gave us all these things. Hey, shining light, we ought to be happy and say, "Lord, here am I, send me." I'll go. Amen? That's right. Number three, he goes wherever he's sent. I take that little stamp off. I put it on the letter. That little stamp don't say, now wait a minute. I want to see where it's going first. If it ain't somewhere I like, I don't go. If I can't get the age group that I want to teach, or if I can't sit in the class I want to sit in, or if I'm just not going. Them little stamps don't open their mouth. I mean, it might be Timbuktu. Ding. It might be Russia. Ding. It might be Los Angeles. Ding. And I tell you, I travel a lot. And I've traveled a lot over the years. 30-something years I've been traveling. I've been traveling airplanes since way back in the late 70s. And I'm telling you, I hate them. Every time I get on an airplane, the more I hate it. You have that junk, brother. That's a terrible way to travel. And I'm going to tell you something, brother, in big old jets, if they just let you come in and sit down and take off, it'd be all right. But now you got to take your shoes off, your belt off, and everything in the world. And I don't always like my destination. But I'm going to tell you what I've done. By the help of God, I have never on purpose told a preacher, I'm sorry, I ain't going to come to your church because I don't like where it's at. Buddy, I've been in Connecticut, around Hartford. Who in the world want to go to some godforsaken place like that? Michigan? Amen? Uh-oh, Bob. Bob knows where. That's where I met Bob back there, is in Flint, Michigan. Who in the world would want to go to Flint, Michigan? I'll never forget the first time I went there. I thought, shoot. I felt the devil. I felt the devil the first time I went to Maryland. I'm not kidding. I hated it. And then, boy, I'd get an opportunity to preach in Florida. I said, yes, here am I. Send me. And you know, palm trees. And they put me in, in a nice motel right there on the water. Woo! Boy, have you ever noticed that when we want to do something, we have a good attitude, but when God asks us to do something we really don't want to do, listen, that little stamp don't open his mouth. He says, Lord, you put me where I'll go wherever I'm sent. I'm telling you, I've went in some awful places. You know what I've done? By the grace of God, I've went and preached in little bitty churches and turned down big churches because I was already supposed to preach in a little church. You know why? It's not my job to choose where I serve. It's my job to be faithful and to obey my boss, my commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my job is to go where He sends me. I don't know where. I believe God sent y'all. I don't know about everybody in here. But for the most part, I believe the Lord put you on this envelope. Shine Up Baptist Church. I've been praying. And if you're visiting here tonight, I've been praying since we moved in our new church, God send us some good families. That's what I told him and his wife this morning. God send us some good men and women. We got a bunch of rednecks and a bunch of kids. We need some good, solid men and women that can pay the bills, to be honest with you. Amen. And brother, how can we need? And I've been praying. And you know what? God's wanting to take you and put you on this ladder and go, think, and stick you on here. And you just say, Lord, if this is where you want me, thank God, I'll stick to the ladder. My job, I believe God has stuck me on, is that when I die, if I ever die, Lord come first, but if He don't, and I die, when I go to heaven, I want to see this big old letter, and it's going to say, the Lord used him, he started the two biggest churches in Western North Carolina. He put buses all over the country, had youth rallies all over the country, done something for God, influenced people for God, preached and taped all over the world, and done things, and he stuck right on there where I put him. That's what I want to do. Go where I'm sent. I ain't sent to Florida. I'm going to Florida here in a few weeks. And in August, I'm going to Orlando. Don't you feel sorry for me? Just a few minutes from Disney World. And I'll be preaching down there all week. They're going to do stuff for the young people every day. Activities and things like that. And they got a bunch of young people coming in.
I enjoy that. I'll be honest with you. Lord have mercy, that's right up my alley. I mean, you put me off somewhere and get a big old building, fill it with about 300 or 400 teenagers. I'm filled up like a pig in the sunshine or whatever they say, a mud hole or something. I feel happy. I feel just like I'm doing what God wants me to do. But brother, sometimes it don't go that way. Sometimes He sends me up to the backslid Baptist on the backside of nowhere where it's awful and people are hateful and I don't have nowhere decent to stay. And they're mean and ugly and make ugly faces and cuss me out. I was somewhere preaching not long ago. And when I got to church early. And there's a woman sitting on the back pew. And they said, that woman wants to talk to you. I said, I don't know her. And they said, well, she wants to talk to you. She said, are you the preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I need to ask you some questions. I said, what? She said, what's this stuff? My son come home scared to death. Said, you said they drilled a 9-mile hole in the hell. I mean, he was tore up. And I said, yeah, I did. I said that. I said, I don't know if that's true or not. I made that statement. It might be true. It might not be true. But I said, whether they did or not, there's still a hell down there. Boy, she was 12 pieces. I don't like it when it's like that. But my job's not to choose where I go. My job's to go where I'm sent. You know why rivers don't run straight? If a river starts on top of a mountain, ain't none of them run straight. Because they follow the path of least resistance. Whichever way is easy, that's which way they go. And that's the same way people are. Whichever way is easier, that's which way they go. You know how hard it is to go straight? It's hard. You know how most people live like this? Because it's the least resistance. The hardest road's straight, brother. It's hard. Amen? Can I get a witness? Hard to go straight, ain't it? It's easy just to go. That's the way most Christians are. In the rapture, they're going to go up ricocheting off the planets. Bing, bang, 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 going up through their sideways. I'm telling you, brother, go where you see it. You know what Jesus said? As my Father sent me, so send I you. Number four. A stamp is small, but it carries a great message. Amen? Great messages are sent in small letters. A stamp is little because it has great authority. I've told you this before, and I'll mention it again. One morning over there in the old church, somebody come in. I said, Brother Danny, have you seen the Morgan and Paper? I said, no. They handed me a Morgan and Paper, and it had a picture of a little girl there. It said, girl dies in her sleep. I said, ooh, that's awful. They said, she wasn't 12 years old. I said, that's a shame, isn't it? They said, look, Brother Danny, look at that. And I said, yeah, I'm looking at it. And I read it. There's a little girl named Valerie. And Valerie's over on the other side of Morgan. And this has been about probably a year and a half, maybe two or three years ago. And they give her, she had the flu or something, and they give that girl cough syrup. And she either took two more or somebody gave her what she wasn't supposed to. Somehow or another, the medicine wasn't right. And she had some kind of reaction. And she died in the middle of the night. And they said, look at her. Don't you recognize her? And I said, oh, yeah. I know that girl. And they said, she comes to church here. And she come on one of our buses. And it was their bus. The junior's bus, wasn't it? And Valerie come to Shining Light Baptist Church over yonder and got saved one Sunday. Y'all listening? And she is on the front page of the Burke County paper. She had gone home to be with the Lord. That's what a stamp does. We're small, but we got a big message. Amen? Amen? When you Sunday school teachers stand in front of those little kids, for heaven's sake, if you're ever going to complain, don't you let me hear you. Please don't let me hear you say, oh, I dread it. I don't want to go in there. Them little brats. Listen, brother, thank God you've got the opportunity of influencing somebody for eternity for God Almighty. Shout about it every Sunday. You stand before them, you preachers stand before them kids back there in that junior church. Amen. Or these little bitty toe heads, we call them, back there in those little classes. You don't know that might be the next. Might be the next Charles Manson or Billy Sunday, depending on what you do in that Sunday school class. We're small, but we got a great message. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say something to you tonight? It's 2008. The world's never been as bad off as it is tonight. We have the opportunity of letting our light shine like no other generation. There's never been a generation in history where the world's any darker than it is right now. Our light can shine brighter than ever. Let's do it. Let's do it. Amen. Not only that, number five, a stamp don't strike back when he struck. Matthew 5:39 said, turn the other cheek. Don't get all defensive. You know what I do? Take that stamp, and I put him on there like that, and then I go. He don't say, I'll hit you back. If he did, I'd have a heart attack. But this little thing, he just lays there. He don't strike back when he struck. Boy, I know Christians that are so defensive. I'll tell you one thing. They said about me, she opens her mouth to me. And the Lord said, turn that other cheek. The Lord said, till 70 times 7. Amen. Bible said, Jesus opened not his mouth. I've heard of preachers said stuff about me. And all these preachers that say stuff about me, most of them don't even know me. Somebody said something. Oh, Brother Danny, my pastor said something about you. I said, who is your pastor? They said it's so-and-so, so-and-so. I said, has he ever met me? No. Has he ever heard me preach? No. And yet he's an expert on me, and he knows all about me, and knows my life. And you know, yep. And it's so tempting for me just to say, nothing. You hush, you're a visitor. I was bragging on you. It's so tempting for me to say, well, I wrote one man back, and I felt bad about that. Some man wrote me a bad letter about 5-6 years ago, and I wrote him one back, and Sean typed it, and I mailed it to him. I really felt bad about that. Once in a while, I'll answer him. But listen, brother, it's so easy to strike back when somebody strikes you. That's human nature. But you just let the Lord handle it. Let the Lord handle it. Amen? He'll take vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. I can talk about that all night. Listen, if somebody hurts you, let it go. Don't let it knock you out. Don't let it knock you. That little stamp stays right there. You hit me, but I'm staying right here on the ladder until I get my job done. I'll let the Lord handle you, big boy. He stays right there. Listen, I made up my mind by the help and grace of God. By the grace of God, I can't do it by myself. But by the grace of God, you can hit me, you can cuss me, and they have. You can talk bad about me, and they have. You can call me all manner of evil, and they have. You can tell every lie in the world about me, and they have. I'm by the grace of God, I want to stick right on the letter that God put me on, because I'm not going to strike back. I've got a letter to deliver. I've got to miss. I'm not going to lower myself to get in a fight and fight with a bunch of preachers and arguing all the time. Listen, God don't bless that mess. Just get in there and do something for God. You say, well, Brother Danny, somebody hurt my feelings. What I should do about it? Go bring you a sinner to church with you next Sunday. That's right. You say, well, Brother Danny, somebody done something that made me mad. Should I talk to him? Yeah, you should talk to your neighbor about getting saved. Let God handle him. Number six. A stamp don't give up when he's licked. Amen. Amen. Now, we'll say this. Thank God they've come out with them kind you don't have to lick. Brother, if you've ever sent out a mailing list of about 100 back in the day when we had to lick them, I'm telling you, I was getting high off that stuff or something. I started getting sick. I licked so many stamps, and they'll cut your tongue. You ever notice that? Them little things are sharp, man. I licked them and licked them, and finally, they come out with them. Somebody had the bright idea of them that you don't have to lick. Glory to God. But a stamp don't give up when he's licked. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9, struck down but not destroyed. You can lose the one game and come back and win the series. Amen. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. Listen, Sunday school teachers, listen, preachers, listen, singers, listen, church members, listen. By the grace of God, the devil might knock you down, the devil might discourage you, but have something inside you that says, by the grace Say amen. I ain't going to quit. I ain't going to quit. I ain't going to quit. By the grace of God, I ain't going to quit. You say, well, Brother Danny, everything's going wrong. Join the crowd, brother. It is for a lot of people. But we're not going to quit. I'm not, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, my girls here tonight, I'm not going to let them walk around my casket and say, Daddy quit. Daddy used to go to church, but he quit. Daddy used to preach, but he quit. I may fail, but bless God, I'm not going to be a quitter. Amen. Amen. Say amen, people. You refuse to quit. Refuse to quit. Go the distance. Go the distance. You say, Brother Danny, it's hard. Yes, sir, it is. The Lord never said it'd be easy. Don't go halfway and then stop. Heard about this. This illustration ain't really exactly right with it, but it's on my mind, so I'm going to tell it. Little boy, he got real sick in church. And he told his daddy, he said, Daddy, I'm going to throw up. He said, well, don't you throw up in here, son. Go to the restroom. He said, okay. He said, hurry. You got to go all the way down the hall, down the steps, down the other hall, restroom, down there, and the hallway down. He said, he run out, run like it, throwed up. He's right back sitting down. He said, did you throw up that quick? He said, yeah. He said, how in the world did you do that? You wasn't gone long enough to get way down there and throw that. He said, I didn't have to go back there. There's a little box back there that says, for the sick. I'd have hated to been that fellow that had to collect that offering out of that, wouldn't you? For the sick. You know what he done? He didn't go far enough. That ain't really much of an illustration on that. He give up before he got to his destination. Amen? Listen, every one of us in here, you want a sad story? I can give everybody in here as many reasons you can give me why I'll quit. Anybody in here say, well, I'll quit, Brother Danny. I'll put mine up against yours any day of the week. You want to get... I'll bring up stuff you don't even want to talk about that happened to me when I was 23 and 4 years old. He said, I'm about ready to quit. Let's compare quitting reasons. Brother, I know a lot of people, somebody told me one time, they said, Brother Danny, you make me so mad. Every time I want to quit, I think about you, and I think if he can do it, I can do it. And that's right. God used me as a guinea pig, so you ain't got no excuse to quit. Amen. You ain't got no excuse. Amen. Two boys were raised in a home of an alcoholic family. One of these boys became a drunk, became an alcoholic. The other one was a teetotaler. I mean, lived a good life, made a good living. A psychologist examined both of these boys. One of them was a drunk. One of them was a successful businessman. And they both had the same daddy. And the psychologist examined them to see why they turned out like they did, and both of them gave the same answer. The one boy said, my daddy's a drunk. That's all I ever knew. So that's what I did. The other boy said, my daddy's a drunk, and I decided I didn't want to be like him. Did y'all hear me? Same daddy. You see, all these people out here say, well, it's because of my family, and it's because of the way I was raised. And I get tired. I mean, I feel sorry for you. My daddy was an alcoholic too. I'm not trying to be mean to you, but just because your daddy was an alcoholic don't mean you have to be one. I ain't never drunk in my life. I tasted it a couple of times when I was a teenager, and that was it. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, you don't have to do it just because your daddy or your granddaddy. You say, what about a generational curse? I don't believe that's in the Bible. You don't have to turn out like your mom and dad. God can do something for you. Well, it's just meant for me to be. I was molested when I was little. And I know there's a lot of people molested when you was little. There's people sitting in here that's molested when you was little. But that don't mean you have to live a subpar life. You can get over it. Put it under the blood. You didn't do nothing wrong, no way. Take charge, brother. Live for God. Get something done for Jesus. Don't use that for an excuse all your life. Everything that goes wrong in your life, you can't blame it on you got molested when you was little. I mean, I feel sorry for you. I nothing like that ever happened to me. My heart goes out to you. I don't know what it's like. But you can't go through life blaming everything on something happening to you when you was a little kid. I don't know why I said that. Maybe somebody needs it. But I'm telling you, brother, just make up your mind. It don't matter what happens. I'm not going to give up when I'm licked. Don't give up. When we're playing ball, if I lose a game, I always say, let's play one more. I cannot stand to lose a game. You say, oh, it's just, I know it is, but who wants to be a loser? People say, well, it don't matter who loses or wins. We're just playing for fun. You're crazy. What do you mean it don't matter? Are you a nut? You some kind of pacifist? I'm telling you, brother, who wants to be a loser? You say, well, it's fun to play. Not if you lose, it ain't fun. It ain't fun to get the snot beat out of you. I mean, you see these quarterbacks, brother, on these football teams? The guy snaps that ball. They get knocked. Oh, Lord. Them guys, I mean, there's about 10 guys. I mean, brother, they knock. They mean to hurt them, too. Them big old boys, they ain't hurt them boys. Bah! Knock them down like that. When that quarterback gets knocked down like that, he don't say, well, nothing's going right. I'm just going home. I'm giving it, buddy. He jumps back up there. He wants the blood off his nose. He said, let's get back in here and try it one more time. That's the way God wants you to do with your bus route. That's the way God wants you to do with your Sunday school class. That's the way God wants you to do raising your family. When the devil knocks you down, wipe the blood off your nose, get back up and say, let's try it again. Say amen. That's right. Never forget about Miss May. I've told you about her over and over and over from Tabernacle Baptist Church down in Statesville. She had had a stroke over 20 years ago. She'd not eat a bite in 20 years. Did she finally die? I don't know if she's still alive or not. She didn't eat a bite in 20 years. They had to feed her through a tube in her stomach because she couldn't move her mouth. She hadn't spoke a word in over 20 years. And she never misses one church service. She sits like right in here and she'll come and sit there like that the whole service. She can hear. She can't talk. She can't eat. She leaves. And she goes on visitation every Thursday night with the pastor's wife. Every Thursday night. Can't speak. You say, why? Because them two-legged people won't go. And she prays and points to houses and tells the preacher's wife where to go and witness. You know what she is? She's just a faithful little stamp, brother. She don't give up when she's licked. There ain't many people in here been knocked down any harder than I've been knocked down. I'm not tooting my horn. I ain't proud of it. The devil's knocked me down a many a time. But Brother Derek said it so well in Sunday school this morning. The secret of the Christian life is keep on getting back up. That's the secret. If he can ever get it in your mind, I ain't never going to make it. Things are never going to be no better. If the devil can get you believing that right there, he's got you. You got to remind yourself, you are an overcomer, brother. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And as I've said many times, the devil can't do nothing with somebody that won't quit. We may fail, but we ain't quit. He sticks to his task until it is done. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. The letter finally gets to the hands of the intended person. Said Martin Luther, the great preacher Martin Luther, used to go into periods of depression. And I didn't know this about him until I read it. And they said he'd get depressed and locking himself in his room and weird out for days. And one time he locked himself in his room 2 or 3 days, and his wife came in. And she had on a black dress and a black veil, and she come walking in like that, and he looked at me and said, who died? She said, God. He said, hush. Who died? She said, God died. He said, that's blasphemy. You quit talking like that. She said, that's right. It's blasphemy for me to say God's dead. And it's blasphemy for you to act like he's dead. Wow. And he went, and buddy, he straightened right up. It's blasphemy for us to act like God's dead. He ain't dead. Quit acting like it. Amen. Quit your pouting, brother. God's still on the throne. Amen. And I love it that His mercies are new every morning. I remember hearing about old John Harper. And John Harper was on the Titanic. He's a preacher on the Titanic the night it went down. And they said, this man stood up and gave a testimony up in Canada or somewhere months after the Titanic went down. And he stood up and he told about getting saved. Well, John Harper went down, drowned in the water. He was one of those that died. And he said that I grabbed a hold of a piece of board, a piece of the ship, and I was holding on to it. And he said the wave went over like this, and I passed by John Harper. And he said, we was out there with 2 or 3 miles of water underneath us. And he said, John Harper looked at me and he said, hey man, is your soul saved? And he said, no, I fear it is not. I mean, that old boy out there going down on the Titanic, brother, going down in the waves, and you know what he had on his mind? Stick to that letter till I get home. Stick to that letter that God stuck me on. Is your soul saved? He said, they drifted apart. In a minute, he said, they drifted back together. Another wave come by. He saw him again. He said, hey man, is your soul saved? He said, I fear it is not. And John Harper said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That old boy stuck right on that letter God put him on. And he went down. And he said, right there with 3 miles of water in the freezing waters of the Atlantic in the night of April 12th, whatever it was, or 1912, April, whatever it was, he said, I was John Harper's last convert. Wow. Son, that old boy stuck right on that ladder till he went down. You know what we need tonight, Shining Light Baptist Church? We need to quit being such wimps. We need to quit letting the devil have just knock us around and knock us out. We need to stand up and be a man. You men, stand up and be a man.
That's right.
Amen. Hey, you claim to be a man, be a man. You ladies, you want to be a Christian lady, stand up behind that husband and back him up and say, we might have a few knocks. We might, the devil might trip us up. The devil might rub our nose in the mud. But by the grace of God, we're going to stick right on that ladder. Till it gets to the person it's intended to get to. Just like that little stamp. Let's stand by our head for prayer.